Hey guys, welcome back. BDCKR here. We're back with our weekly Q&A content. This is uploaded in two formats. It is a YouTube video on youtube.com on the YouTube channel BDCKR Gaming, and it is a podcast on a bunch of different podcasting platforms under also BDCKR Gaming, I think. I actually don't know what we're called on the podcast now that I'm thinking about it. It's the same, right? Yeah,
I don't know. You took care of that.
Yeah, I think it's just BDCKR Gaming, because BDCKR Gaming podcast would be like a ridiculous name, and Q&A being in her title would seem weird. I don't actually know. We're something.
There's you could let us homework, know. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, I think podcasts are a great way to get your content in if you're not going to be paying sort of active attention to the video anyways. And in sort of that vein, I wanted to do a quick recommendation. We are a much smaller content creator, and I'm recommending somebody much bigger. But friend of the show, Bug Hunter, and Matt from a band called The Narcissist Cookbook have a podcast called Jam Mechanics. And the premise is that they take 3 hours. They give each other like a challenge, and then they go away and they come back with a demo for a song in 3 hours.
Okay.
And it's just, it's good fun. They've got great banter with each other. They get along quite well. It's easy to listen to. And there are some really genuinely cool, like, pieces of art that come out of the 3 hour period. A lot of times they're at least a little bit outside of their comfort zone. But the end products, there's a couple of songs that really stand out to me as, you know, just exceptionally well done things, period. Never mind for being done so quickly and just, you know, a 3 hour period under constraints and with a random sort of topic that is out of their own control. So it's cool. If you like a sort of peek behind the curtain, if you're a fan of sort of the process behind making stuff, it's a great thing.
Of indie music.
Yeah. So that's Jam Mechanics. And that is, I think, pretty much where our podcast is at the same time. So don't stop listening to this, obviously. Finish this first, but then when you're done with that, maybe give Jam Mechanics a try. It's cool stuff. And so that's our sort of podcast plug. Do you want to tell people, if they are watching the video, what we'll be seeing today?
Ooh. All right. So this is season 11, as you said, episode 9. This is the season of the Lost Challenge characters.
Yeah.
We're going through them alphabetically. This week is Containment Doomsday.
Making people jealous.
Yeah,
giving you FOMO.
Right. So, you know, I've always loved calling him Containment Suit Doomsday because it really is like he's wearing containment suit, right?
Yeah.
And I also like calling him Pickle Suit Doomsday because the suit makes him look like a big, big pickle.
Yeah.
But
green.
Green. Yeah, it's a really nice shade of green that's very, when you say pickle, it's very evocative.
Mm-hmm.
Doomsday, Containment Doomsday's passive is Evolutionary Rebirth.
Here, I'm the passive reader on this,
okay,
on this channel,
right,
so I'll read
go.
It out. Right. Three times per match, and in the face of certain defeat, I like that little flavor text, they don't always do that extra little...
That flare?
Yeah. In the face of certain defeat, Doomsday will immediately regenerate 50% of his total health and power while receiving a 10% damage increase. That's 700 attack, 600 health.
Yeah.
And when they say in certain defeat, that's, you know, when instead of being knocked out, it's a revive.
Right.
Yeah.
So back in the day, before Tantu Totem and Master's Death Cart, the game's meta really favored basic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you wanted a good team, you would need a team that did a lot of basic damage.
Mm.
There were...
Because it was consistent.
Sure. And it didn't take so long to build up power, right? Like there were a few exceptions at the time, notably Batgirl with Ares and doing splash damage. That was a bit of a revelation because you could do more. Like, it's not that you had to do specials over and over. You could do a lot with one special.
Yeah.
So, at that time, Containment Doomsday was a staple of our multiplayer teams. We had a team called BDCKR Special. You can take a look at it if you want. We, in our earlier videos, there were months, maybe even years, where we used the team of Containment Doomsday, Elseworld Flash, and Regime Green Lantern as the team we would play in our background while doing Q&As.
Mm-hmm.
And another bit of interesting history was, all right, so now what we do is we have footage, and then we record audio, and then we put them together.
Yeah.
Back in the day, we used to play while we were doing these.
You would be playing
right
and talking, and I would just be talking. And so you would have much more trouble, and I would sort of have to fill in the gap sometimes when you would just be like, okay, I need to focus, and I would just kind of have to freewheel with no safety net.
Because I hated to lose.
Yeah.
And back in the day, we would just do a camera watching the TV screen where we were projecting the game off the device.
Yeah, well, what was really funny about it, actually, this is the peek behind the curtain for our old stuff, it was, you know, the part of the problem was if the angle was even a little bit weird, there would be a moiré, so there'd be this pattern all over the screen.
I think even if the pattern or the angle wasn't weird, there'd still
be it'd be pretty much impossible to get rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then we also had green, like, packing tape or painter's tape, I guess.
On the ground.
Right. On the ground, but also on the corners of the TV, so that we could get the zoom dialed in, and make sure that we weren't getting any of the TV and cutting our framing. And then also, the HDMI connection to the TV, the way that it resized it would cut off, like most of the health bar.
Yeah.
Like physically, like there would be no way for us to do it. It would literally just, the TV wouldn't display most of the health bar.
Right.
So it was a terrible, terrible setup.
Yeah, so this is definitely an improvement, but it speaks to how good the team is, because in a time where people were still having trouble winning in multiplayer, it was relatively mindless and effective to use this team, basic attacks, really high win percentage.
Yeah.
So even though you don't see Containment Doomsday in multiplayer much now, I think he is very underrated and definitely overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because he isn't in the challenge cycle that started back in May 2020. So it's been more than 4 years since you've been able to get him in the challenge. It's partly because I think not just that he's hard to get, but that people look at the low stats and just dismiss him out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
So Containment Doomsday has deceptively low stats because of his surprisingly good passive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Surprising is the right word, I think, because Golds at the time when he was released often had only one ability in their passive.
Yeah.
And despite the description being used here where it's just one sentence to describe everything, he has three abilities really, I think, if you break it down. He will regenerate 50% health every time he would have gotten knocked out. He gets 50% power each time he regenerates.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's revive, right? So, and he gets 10% damage increase with each revive too. So each of those can happen three times per match. And an extra 50% health three times is equivalent of base health of 1,500.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's 2.5 times of the 600. 1,500 is pretty decent. I don't know that there's actually any characters that have base health, that any golds that have base health that high.
That's true, yeah.
And an extra 10% damage three times is equivalent of increasing the base attack by 210. So that's like a 910 base attack, which is not the best, but it's clearly like competitive when you look at his overall stats.
Yeah, right? The main issue with, I mean, the health, right? It doesn't matter when you get it,
because right,
you want the total health. Well, the right, main issue with the attack is that it takes time for him, right, to sort of level it up, and he needs to get knocked out for you, right, to get the full, right, benefit of it.
Right, and same with power, right? You don't get it until you get, or about to get knocked out, but literally, power is power.
Yeah.
So there's advantages and disadvantages of having his health like that. You've talked, mm-hmm, about it a little bit. Or maybe, no, that was the damage, but the health, the advantage is that it compartmentalizes his health so that you have a built-in counter against supers.
Mm-hmm.
So super that would have done enough damage to knock out somebody with just that base health.
Yeah.
It just causes triggers to revive, right?
Yeah, you need to knock him down to his threshold so he can tank more hits, even if you have somebody who would deal enough damage to knock him out with one special.
Right.
The way that you basically lose all of that, like, extra damage.
Right. Because you're only taking as much damage as it takes you down to zero.
Yeah.
Then you revive. It negates the remainder of the hit's damage. Now, against a multi-hit special, you will still take more damage, but anything more than your remaining visible health gets wasted, right? Like, there's still an element of it that gets wasted.
You are always taking less than sort of the full damage that you would have taken from a special. It is like, anytime you hit that knockout threshold, it is the equivalent of at least a little bit percentage damage reduction on that special.
Right. So it's also a great counter against Raven Prime, where you still have some health tucked away after she health swaps with you.
Yeah.
So it's great. It hides your health. That's the second advantage, is it hides your health so that in matchmaking, For multiplayer and Survivor, the calculation is based on your actual health and not your effective health, which that higher amount is, right?
Yeah.
So you potentially get easier fights, too.
No, potentially. You do get easier fights.
Well, relatively. I guess at the higher levels, it depends on who your teammates are. Because if your teammates are higher enough...
I guess so, yeah. Until you're hitting the upper echelon, you get easier fights. That's a good point. Yeah.
So the downside is that when you have gears that boost your health, it boosts your base health, not your effective health. So it's boosting off 600... Yeah. And not 1500.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're using Containment Doomsday as your specialist to be your main damage dealer, besides Tantu Totem Master's Death Cart, your third gear could be a power generating gear to get you to your special two faster. Mm-hmm. But if you want to take advantage of his quick special one, what you're seeing here is you give him Claw of Horus, and I don't know if there's anyone with a faster special one with as short a latency period where you can start it again. He is fast enough that against a fully evolved Astro Harness, he can do four special ones instead of the usual, say, three with New 52 Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Before the invulnerability wears off, which is usually enough to shatter the opponent's Astro Harness, making them vulnerable to getting knocked out without any further invulnerabilities. Like, they don't get the next few because you've shattered it before it happens.
Yeah.
And I guess I should probably look into the footage, because part of me feels like I'm not sure if I'm ever able to get five special ones, but if I can't, I feel like the difference is just that I have to do better. Like, I have to be just a little bit faster. The bonus is that his specials rely on the quick tap minigame, which is the easiest of all to max out at 200%, meaning you're most likely getting full value for his specials.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I love Containment Doomsday. If you get the chance to get him, you should. Hopefully, I mean, this is sort of part of the reason why we're so late in our season 11 before we're doing this, because it's been a long time. We were always hoping that they would become available again, and it just hasn't happened.
Yeah. Yep. There you go. And then last sort of piece of housekeeping before we get into the questions properly. I'm not going to talk about it that much because we mentioned it last week, but I hit my deadline this weekend. I uploaded a almost final draft of the video that I made. I basically just want to swap out some vocals in it for a couple of my friends' vocals, just to do a cute little thing there, just for my own sort of joy, just because I feel like it. But uploaded it, shot that off to our patrons, and we've gotten only good feedback so far.
Right. So what's funny is, okay, so before we can get to the official questions, there's one person who had made a comment saying, I wish I could see that video. Yeah. And I can't find the comment anymore, so I wonder if they deleted it. But I think the point is, you actually can see the video. Anybody can once it's widely
available. You just have to find it.
Well, listen, you can have access to it. The difference, the benefit of being a patron is that we're giving you that connection so that you know that is us.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I think you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Or not us so much as it is you.
Yeah, that's true. Because you don't really have any particular hand in it.
No.
This is you. I mean, you watched it a couple times. You gave me a little bit of feedback on it.
Yeah.
But not much in the actual creation of it itself.
Right.
Yeah.
So everybody has access to it. It's an egalitarian kind of approach.
Although right now it's an unlisted link, so only patrons have access to it.
Right.
Or friends of the shows who want to shoot us an email, we'll shoot them a link to it.
Right.
Yeah, but I guess if you want to have access to it and you've never commented, if we won't know you from Adam, then you can drop us a buck one time on Patreon, grab the post and then skedaddle. I wouldn't hate that, you know? But anyways, yeah, no. So just, that's out there. I'm feeling creatively fulfilled for having done it. And
that's
recommend that if people have a project that they want to do, that you just do it, especially if it is productive. I saw, who was it? There was a composer apparently at the Oscars. I didn't watch the Oscars, but they were quoted as saying they were really happy that in their childhood, that their hobbies were productive and creative and not consumptive. So they were making things instead of consuming things.
Right.
And that's, it's an interesting perspective on stuff. I think, I've definitely felt that a little bit with just making something where, you know, I play games. I love games. Right.
Right.
This channel is about a video game, right?
Right.
But there's something really satisfying about making something, even if it's not high art or whatever, right? Like, this is just what we do here is very hobby based. It's not really, we don't have any sort of false sense of
pretensions?
Grandeur. Pretensions, yeah.
Yeah.
That we're making like art here, right? But it's kind of cool to make something instead of being on the other side. And it's not to say that it's one or the other, because I think you should be both. And I think, like, you know, if my video essay that I made is any good, it is only good because I watched enough other people who did stuff that I liked that I developed an internal sense of style that was based on them, right? You know, if I did it in a vacuum, it would have been, you know, nothing, right? There would have been nothing solid as a base for me to sort of do my own thing with in the first place, right? Right. I stand on the shoulders of giants, right? But it is cool to be able to be on sort of both sides of that equation, at least a little bit, right?
Right.
At the very least, you know, even though I am doing it in such a non-professional way, like making YouTube videos like this, right? And then making like a higher effort, like video essay style YouTube video. All of these things gave me such a great understanding and appreciation of and sort of like a balanced perspective on like what making stuff is like, and I think that that's really cool, and that's something that is super valuable. And so if you have a way of spending your time that can teach you something that can be fun and satisfying and skill building and valuable, again, it's the same kind of stuff I was talking about last week. Take that opportunity. It's been really cool.
I think you make a good point, too, in terms of how you describe how you came to it, right? That you watched enough to know. I think the issue sometimes is when people push being creative for profit.
Yeah.
That they try to get themselves into areas or spaces that they're not familiar with. And I think whenever we're talking about any kind of creative endeavor, that it is important to actually be familiar enough with the genre conventions that you can either do something not intelligent so much with them, but just something consistent with them, so that people who are coming into that space, they have an expectation, right? And if you are either you give them what they want, or if you don't, you run the real risk of disappointing people. So they're going to be unsatisfied, not because it's not good, but because you don't respect what the expectations are when you've place yourself in that particular space. It doesn't mean you have to follow the conventions, because there's lots of successful sort of genre breaking, genre mashups, genre whatever things.
But it's easier to break it if you understand the rules of it first.
Right, right.
And I think it also kind of depends a little bit on the angle that you're coming in from. Because I think, like, if, for example, you go, oh, you know, the paranormal romance genre, right, is really popular, so I want to make like a werewolf love story, right?
Right.
Then if you come in and you don't know anything about the tropes in the genre, you can really stumble over yourself. I think if you have a story that you fall in love with and you don't necessarily know the genre, and you have a story in your head and you want to get it out, and it happens to be sort of like a paranormal romance thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like a marketing byline or whatever. It's just the story that you feel like you want to tell. I think even without the knowledge of the tropes, you have a better chance of stumbling into something cool and interesting and unique because it comes from a genuine passion separate from, you don't set out to just do something in a style without understanding the style.
I also think that if somebody's coming at it because they really like the story and they really appreciate it, that you can't separate it entirely. Like, it's not like they would never have read any kind of story like that before, right? Like, you have to come to it with a little bit of familiarity.
Yeah. Yeah. But so that there's ways to be more or less familiar, but in general, no, you got to know the rules to break them. And especially if you were just trying to make something because you know that type of thing sells or does well, that's, I think, when you run the biggest issue of just sort of coming in not knowing what you're doing.
And I guess that's a long, fancy way of saying do what you love.
Yeah.
Right? And then you it's hard to go wrong that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then also, I think, again, with the YouTube channel, with everything else, for a lot of those sort of creative things, if you're in it to be successful, it is pretty thankless, and you're doing the wrong thing, you know?
If you're doing it to get into the YouTube studio parties, then you're doing the right thing, but I don't know that there's any, there's definitely not one in Toronto anymore. Yeah. Are there any YouTube studios around?
I don't know if there's any, or if they're all like pop-up things now. It makes sense. They were spending probably a lot more money than they were getting out of it by maintaining that stuff. That feels kind of like,
I'm just feeling nostalgic for it now, because we were just cleaning up a little bit in the basement, and I was looking at the YouTube studio water bottles.
Mm.
Just little...
Yeah, little merch.
Yeah, it was fun. Those were great parties.
Yeah. Anyways, that's enough navel-gazing. Right. Go out and make stuff. If you make stuff, let us know in the comments. If you've got like a channel and you make stuff, you know, we can't promise that we'll watch it, but you know, Share your stuff.
Yeah, share. Yeah,
be proud of it.
Yeah.
So, and especially if you come back to us in a few months and say, I listened to this episode and I wanted to make something and here it is, that would be a huge, huge compliment to us.
Yeah.
So we would love it if anybody did something like that.
All right, off the top of my head, then there's a little book that Neil Gaiman did called, I think it's called Make Great Art.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. It says, I think, a lot more than we're getting at here, but it's a lot of the same ideas, encouraging people just to do.
Yeah. The first one's going to suck. The first one's not going to be as good as you want it to
be. Or it might be great.
Yeah, but you'll only get better. If your first one's great, then you found a career.
Yeah.
If you can find an audience and your first one is already good, then you're sailing, man. Anyways, first comment comes from I love Risa Sensei. I don't know who Risa is, but I'm assuming.
I love her is a sensei.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm saying, so I love her is a sensei.
Maybe. You think this is I love her and they're a sensei? Or this is a friend of I love her? I think it's Risa, R-I-S-A, and it's probably a character from something. Anyways, regardless where their name comes from, they say, wow, I found this channel randomly. I got so much information just off from this one video, subscribed instantly. I just got back into Injustice after years. Used to play it on my brother's phone, but forgot about it over the years. Now that I have a phone of my own, I installed it, starting from literally zero, of course. But that's a good thing if you ask me, because you get to build your roster. And I have to say, for people like me who are new to the game, this channel is a blessing. Thank you. And our cat has just pushed open the door because he wanted in. So I'm going to get up and close the door quickly while we get into that.
Yeah. So yeah, I thanks for the compliment. I think there's a few other really good resources. Back in the day, GameFAQs and the official Warner Brothers forums. I'm going to say WB, yeah. But the Warner Brothers forums.
It almost sounds like you're going to say WBID or something.
Yeah.
That's where we're...
But right now, probably the best place is the Injustice Mobile subreddit. Mm-hmm. It's not nearly as active as it used to be, but it's out of all the different places. I think that's probably the best place to go if you want to have discussions.
Yeah. Or us. You can just stay here and watch all of our videos.
Yeah, we got lots of videos.
That's cool.
So this was a comment from just last week's weekly recap. So it's nice to know that that information is still useful, because it's only probably November, I think I want to say November 2022. That we started doing videos with each of the challenge characters the week they were out. But it was before that we were just talking about the stuff that was happening.
Yeah, this feels more useful because it's like a new character that you might just be getting access to. And then it's a bit of a sort of guide or crash course on how you might use them, why it's good, why it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think some of the theory too, I always try to be a little bit careful, but because we've been playing for so long, sometimes it's easy to take for granted some of the things that we already know.
Yeah.
And so I'm making the effort to make it more new player friendly. So I'm happy that it's actually successful.
Yeah. Huh. So there we go. Yeah. So thank you and welcome aboard. Hopefully we can continue providing useful information.
Yeah.
Next one comes from Jaguar King 2892. They say, hey guys, where can I submit Q&A questions?
I've got an answer for that.
You just did. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. Anywhere where you can comment on our YouTube account, you can submit Q&A questions.
Yeah.
I guess theoretically, you could submit them by emailing us at bdccare@hotmail.com, although nobody ever does, and we would be much slower getting to them probably, because we don't always check that.
And sometimes we've taken questions directly on our Patreon from patrons.
I was going to say, asking a question on Patreon from a patron is probably the best way to guarantee that your question gets answered if we feel like we have anything to say. Because we feel like we owe a little more to the people who have sort of created a direct transactional relationship with us, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we don't actually have to. It's not like you're sort of buying the right to talk to us, because we're happy to answer questions from everybody regardless.
Right.
But if somebody likes us enough to toss us a couple bucks, often the questions are almost always, I think the questions are super thoughtful and worth answering anyways, as a lot of, you know, non-patron questions are. But we are definitely, we go, oh, this person kicks us some cash. We feel nice about you. So we want to do right by you if it's at all possible.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
true. Shouldn't be, but it's true. Like I don't think I started with the intention of that.
Yeah.
But I've, you know, just being a little bit self-reflective.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize it, that I do that a lot.
But they're also when we get comments a lot, right? Yeah, when there's somebody who's constantly speaking with us, when they are like replying to something that we said in the video and having this back and forth with us, I also feel a lot better about replying to those comments because that's my little friend in the computer.
All right. Pro tip though, if you're going to comment on something in the video, it's helpful if you give enough reference to what the point is because we spend so many hours doing these that I can't always remember what they're referring to if the question itself doesn't have enough context. It either needs to
be a time code or it's like when you guys said this about this, my thoughts is. Yeah.
Well, I've realized I've gotten lost a couple times where I thought, what?
Yeah.
And then it took me a few days or weeks to realize, oh, that's what they were talking about.
Yeah, but so those people, you know, there's a decent number of people, more than I would have expected if you asked me because I don't think I ever thought I would have like a YouTube channel or people who were, patrons, I think it's fair to say, are fans of us, right? People who comment regularly are, again, they're just my little friends in the screen. I don't know if I can call them a fan, but I would say if you're coming back week after week, maybe fan is an appropriate word. You'd have to ask them. But so those people, it's always cool when it's like somebody who's like been following us for a while, that kind of thing. When people have those regular interactions with you, it's like, oh, you like our stuff. That's cool. That's interesting. Cool. And so that's a great way of getting your questions answered is committing your time, energy, or money, or, you know, just putting yourself in front of us in a way that we know who you are.
Yeah.
And it makes everybody feel good. We feel great about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there we go. Our next comment comes from Frog Posting. They say, sorry if this question is asked a lot, but I'm a new subscriber. And for the new question and answers, can you answer me? Is a new Injustice Mobile update ever going to come out? Please, bro. And then the prayer hands emoji. Right.
So it's an interesting question, I guess, depending on how you interpret the idea of an update, right?
Yeah.
There have been updates. There was one not too long ago where it was a bug fixes.
Yeah.
Because every once in a while, when Google updates and they introduce an incompatibility.
Yeah, they got to fix something to make the game keep running.
Google Play doesn't work properly, so that the Google Play login through the game is broken. So every once in a while that happens. What it does is it not only screws up the challenge reset glitch, but it means that they get on their horse and release a bug fix usually within a few weeks.
Yeah.
But that's not what most people mean.
Yeah, they want new content. They want new stuff.
Right.
Or at least, you know, enough changes that it changes the stuff that you already have.
Right.
New something. And at this point, one of the things that I really wish, and it would have been sad, but it would have been a little bit nice, is if they had let us know that they were going to discontinue support and stop working on the game. It would have been cool to have that sort of definitive answer, because there was a long while where we basically just said, it's not looking great, but who knows for sure, right?
Right.
And technically, that's still exactly the spot we're in. It's not looking great, but who knows for sure. But the it's not looking great has gone from, you know, could be, could not be, to almost certainly not going to update the game again.
Right.
To come back after this amount of time, because really, the reason why you update a game is to hold on to and attract new people, right?
Right.
You either want like a higher retention rate or sort of like marketing, or you want to be bringing new people in. And so the problem is that this game has been unupdated for long enough that they have kind of hit the retention rate that they are going to stay at, right? There's going to be potentially a slow burn, maybe some new people coming to it, maybe some people coming back to it after a few years. But compared to its heyday, I can only imagine that there's a much, much smaller audience, and that audience is already relatively dedicated. If they're playing, they're playing because they love the game, because they're, you know, waiting for the next new thing to come out, right? And so at this point, it would be very hard to get back those people that you could maybe keep playing it only while there's still updates.
Right.
It would be hard for you to sort of get a bunch of new people unless something happens in the outside world, whether that's like marketing or some reason why more people have their eyeballs on the game.
Yeah.
So the value to them for updating something only gets less and less the longer it goes without an update.
Right.
There's the economics for it just don't make that much sense, right? Because we're still playing and we're going to keep playing, right? Whether or not they give an update. And most of the people still playing are like that, right? Whether or not we get an update, we're going to keep playing. And one new character would not be enough new content for for it to sustain us, right? If we're the type of people who need new stuff, one new character is not going to do it for us. Right. So you need to like actually spin up like a proper like release cycle again if you wanted to really make the most out of it. It's not the kind of game that will have like, you know, like one big update like every like 5 years, and that's right. Like fine, right?
It's very much like the YouTube algorithm that you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
That one video. Oh, can you hear that?
Yeah, the cat. Well, I don't know if they can hear it, but the cat wants back out. He has decided that he's been in here for long enough
and is not interested in YouTube.
So there you go, buddy.
Well, that YouTube rewards regular uploads the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, it's just, I guess, the nature of online content, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, you know, they haven't done it. There doesn't seem to be any team, right? There seems to be, like, at most, like, a skeleton crew fixing stuff when something breaks. And their motivation, their incentive structure is very much not there. So unless it turns out that there's this sort of slow train chugging along of people who are continuing to like watch ads and buy microtransactions that actually ends up being pretty profitable for them, and they realize at some point in the future, wow, this game is still making money. Right. Barring that, and even, you know, in that case, you need to have like really right place, right time. Somebody need eyes on it, right? And I don't pretend to know enough about sort of the internal politics and sort of structures of a development space. But from my perspective, I don't see any reason why they would come back and add a new update.
So the too long didn't read version is basically the longer there isn't an update, the less likely there is to be an update for many different reasons.
Yeah. And we're not experts. We don't know, right? We don't have any back channels with any...
Right. We don't have any special insight.
Yeah. Anybody at NetherRealm Studios. But
yeah,
our guess is no, unfortunately.
Yeah. Not the kind of update that people want.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's a little bit... Well, it's not even that sad anymore. I was going to say it's maybe a little bittersweet, but we've got what we've got. I think knowing for certain... Being uncertain was, I think, hard, but knowing as close to certain as you get that there's not going to be another update, you know, you kind of figure out how you feel about it and then move on, right?
Yeah.
So it's not even that bittersweet. It's kind of just okay.
Yeah, because I think that the game, as good as it is... For how long it's held our attention,
man.
I'm happy with what they made. At some point, like, it's like different TV shows, right? Like, sometimes a TV show is so good, you wish it could have continued. And then sometimes you realize, okay, you see a good TV show that does continue.
Yeah.
And you watch how it goes off the rails a bit.
Yeah, and then it ends up being something that you don't care about, which is actually much worse.
I agree.
It's better to mourn something great than to get to watch it become really sort of mediocre.
A shadow of itself.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. So on that note,
yeah.
I think this is as good a time as any to end off. So we'd like to give a huge thank you to our patrons on Patreon.
That would be Michael DeVries, Irvin Ruiz, Hoshi127, and Nora Klimek, who are supporting us on the credited level. And the other names that you see on the screen are people who were generous enough to have supported us during the pandemic.
Yeah. So a huge thank you to those folks. Huge thank you to anybody who spent, you know, 33 minutes here hanging out with us. That's pretty cool of you.
It is.
So thanks you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Komoda.